Genesis 1, 21b and 22. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them. Why did not God pronounce the word of blessing upon the above inanimate bodies of his creation also? In those cases, he only said that the bodies which he had created pleased him, but he did not bless them. But when he comes to the generation and propagation of living bodies, then he institutes a new mode of their increase and multiplication. Hence the sun and the stars, as we see, do not generate from themselves bodies like unto themselves, but herbs and trees have this blessing upon them, that they grow and bring forth fruit. Still, there is nothing in them like unto this present blessing, pronounced by God upon the living bodies. Moses, therefore, by this word of the divine blessing, makes a glorious distinction between the bodies before created and these living bodies which were created on the fifth day, because here a new method of generation is instituted. For in this case, from living bodies are generated separate kinds of offspring which also live. But this certainly is not the case with trees nor herbs. For unless they be sown anew, they bear no fruit, nor does a seed grow simply from a seed, but from a plant. But in the present instance, a living body is generated from a living body. This latter operation, therefore, that animal bodies should increase and be multiplied from bodies of their own kind, is entirely another and a new work of God. Because a pear tree does not produce a pear tree, but a pear. But in the latter case, that which a bird produces is a bird. That which a fish generates is a fish. Marvelous indeed and numberless is the multiplication of each species and infinite the fecundity, but it is greatest in marine and aquatic animals. What then is the cause of this wonderful and admirable generation or propagation? The hen lays an egg. She cherishes it until a living body is formed in the egg, which at length the hen hatches. Philosophers allege the cause of all this to be the operation of the sun and the heat of the hen's body. I fully grant all this. But divines speak much nearer the truth when they affirm that the whole generative process takes place by the effective operation of the word, here spoken by God, and God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." This word of God's blessing is present in the very body of the hen and of all living creatures, and the heat by which the hen cherishes the egg is essentially and effectively the heat of the word of God. For without this word, the heat of the sun or of the body would be utterly ineffectual and useless. Wherefore, to this admirable part of his creation work, God adds his peculiar blessing in order that these living bodies, now created on the fifth day, might be fruitful. From these circumstances may be seen what this divine blessing is, namely, multiplication. Now, when we bless, we can effect nothing. All we can do is to pray. But this prayer is inoperative. We cannot effect the things for which we pray. But the blessing of God carries with it actual fruitfulness and multiplication. It is at once effectual. On the contrary, the divine curse is non-multiplication and diminution, and the curse is also at once effectual. Here again, the phraseology of Moses is to be carefully observed. What Moses calls the blessing of God, philosophers call fecundity, that is, when certain living and sound bodies are produced from other living and sound bodies. Nothing resembles this in trees, for a tree does not generate the like unto itself. It is the seed that produces the like of the tree. This is a great and marvelous miracle. But like all things else in the wonderful works of God, it loses its wonder from our being always accustomed to behold it without reflection or consideration. Another question here arises concerning worms and various hurtful creeping things, reptiles as toads and venomous flies and also butterflies. In all these living creatures, there is a wonderful fecundity, and it is singular that the more hurtful the creatures, the more prolific generally is their generation and the greater their multiplication. But we will leave this question to our subsequent comments on the third chapter of this book. For my belief is that at the time of creation, now under consideration, none of these venomous, hurtful, or annoying creatures as yet existed. I believe that they afterwards sprang from the earth when cursed by God as the punishment of sin, that they might afflict us and compel us to flee unto God in prayer. But more on this subject, as I have just intimated, hereafter. Thus have we then a sight of living bodies created on the fifth day, and we have seen that the word of God, spoken on this day, is still effectual, for fishes are still generated from mere and very water. Hence fish ponds and lakes still generate fishes. Minnows are generated in fish ponds, in which there were none before. For I see no likelihood of truth in the trifling arguments of some, who will have it that fishes caught by birds drop their seed into the fish ponds and lakes, while they are being borne along in the air by their feathered captors, and that such dropped fish seed afterwards increases and furnishes the ponds. I believe, therefore, the true and sole cause of all this generation and multiplication of fishes to be God's commanding word to the water on the fifth day of his creation work to bring forth fishes. I believe that this divine word is still effectual, and that it still works all these things.